And Dale Romans joins us. Good morning.
Good morning. I hope you're not calling to ask me who I like in the pick five. You know, I'm playing myself.
Well, we will at least ask you how certain horses got there, and that are in some cases, kind of angling in a different direction. And I do want to ask you about one thing that came up yesterday. But before we do any of that, everybody's got the same question: how's Dennis's moment? And we haven't talked, since Breeders' Cup. Bring everybody up to date and talk about what you went through leading up to the race and then after the gates open.
Yeah, well, that's an emotion I really like to revisit. So thanks for bringing it back up, Steve. How do you even talk about it? What do you say? I mean, it's just you put all your eggs in one basket and you drop the basket first as soon as the gate opens. And I don't know. It was incredible. I still think he's the best 2-year-old in the country. I think it was misfortunate, and we don't want to get into all of what could have happened. But he came back good, and he's over at Windstar Farm. That was our original plan. For a fleeting moment, I thought about trying to talk to Jason into running back one time so he'd be champion, but we need to stick to the best path to the Kentucky Derby, and that was our original plan, and cooler heads prevailed. He's over at Windstar. He looks good.
When will he come back in? And what is the initial feel for a schedule for him?
Right now, it feels like he'll go to Florida December 15th. Points for the Fountain of Youth, and hopefully make his debut in the Fountain of Youth, Florida Derby, Kentucky Derby, Preakness, Belmont, Haskell, Travers, Jockey Club, Gold Cup, Breeders' Cup Classic, Pegasus, Saudi Arabia, Dubai World Cup, and then I'll get 2 weeks off and look for something else.
That's the greatest. I got to tell you, that's a better answer than we're going to take it one at a time.
All right, screw that. We're going to win them all.
I love it. I got it. One question that seems logical. Did you have a sinking feeling and sort of a, I know we're in trouble the minute you drew the one hole?
I'm never happy with the one hole. And I'll tell you what, I don't like my horse on the outsides. I don't care where it is. It just seems like there's always a problem when there's open space for them to break into. It just seems like it's so much easier for them to have a clean break with a horse on each side of them.
Yeah,
for some reason. And I don't know if it's a one-hole makes you stumble. I guess you can stumble from any spot. But the jock said he just tried to break so hard, and his legs came with effort. The jock coming back had that deer in the headlights look like he couldn't believe he stayed on. And, if you see the still shots of him, it's incredible as athletic as he is that he got up and did anything. And he didn't act like for a day or so that he was a little jammed up in his shoulders because you figure all that weight falling on your knees, catching yourself. But he came out right away. We took him to the racetrack a couple of days just to make sure that he was moving good and that Tammy felt like he was good enough to go out without having to do anything special. And she came back and said, yeah, and we sent him straight to Windstar. But I tell you what, that was that might be the low of the low of my career. Walking back after him, after what happened. I didn't even watch the race. I couldn't watch it after the first stumble.
Now there was, watching it live, there was at least a moment. It looked like, he started to engage, and I'm watching and I'm thinking, is he gonna get to contention? But then off the turn, it just felt like, given that race track.
Yeah, that's what Jack said. He just really wasn't going anywhere. He wrapped up on him. He said he just had too much to do, and I think he was concerned too that he hurt himself, that he had fallen so hard. And he just wrapped up on him the last part, which was the right thing to do. And he'll live to fight another day. But you don't get those kind back. You know, that same thing happened, if you remember, Shackleford, when he stumbled out of the gate in the mile. I still to this day believe he could have drunk the gate behind him and outrun those horses with a fair start. And, we brought him back, and he won Churchill and retired off a big win. But that was a bad day, too, but I think we topped it the other day because, everything was on the line, championship, And I just think so much the source second wasn't good enough for him, even much less to stumble out of the gate and trail the field.
Well, the fact that he comes back whole, and you know, I undoubtedly Dennis Allbaugh and the family, you know, frustrated. But you know, when you compare it to not this time, it's a better scenario, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a better scenario, and he'll, like I say, he'll have a lot to look forward to next year. But I always wanted a 2-year-old champion, and I think he deserved to be. He is the best horse in the country right now, best 2-year-old, I think. I might be a little biased, but that's all right. He's mine.
Well, we look forward to getting him back, and this'll turn into a, you know, big opportunity as a 3-year-old. Meanwhile, you at least you know, hours later, 24 hours later, this was your sole focus at Breeders' Cup. However, I haven't had a chance to do this and to even talk about the race 2 weeks ago. You won the Chalukie the next day with that Sally's Curlin. That was a nice win.
That was a very nice win. It's a good ownership group, and C.J. Thoroughbreds with Corey Johnson, they're just getting started on syndication after he sold Kentucky down. So it's good for them to get up and going like that. It's a really good filly, and it should be tough coming back to Paul City on Thanksgiving Day.
Very nice. And what? Let's also visit Coach Rocks, who it really is a bit of an enigma. And you've got a lot of confidence in her. And I actually I was staying at the Constance, and I ran into Roddy Valenti, and didn't realize he'd been staying there for days. But on I guess it must have been Saturday. Was it Saturday night? I don't know. I ran into Roddy, and he was excited. And I think you guys had, I think, big expectations in the Golda Kova.
Yeah, we thought she'd run better than she did. I did anyway. But, you know, she, like I said, she's had an in-and-out career. She'd jump up and run some big ones, and then she'd throw a clunker or two and then run some big ones. But overall, she was a really good filly for us. We had a lot of fun with her. We sold her at the sale. And that Tuesday, she brought $450,000, and she made $600,000, I think. We bought her for $90,000. So, it was a lot of fun for everybody, and financially rewarding for everybody. I hate to see her go. She has to be by far the best oxbow out there.
Well, every sire gets at least one good horse. And speaking of which, I haven't mentioned the story yet this morning that broke out of TaylorMade, which is California Chrome. He's going to head to Japan, for those that haven't seen this. He was, the announcement came earlier this morning, and Duncan Taylor, we were approached by representatives of the buyer, and 50 share syndicate. The offer was presented to the shareholders for a vote, and ultimately the results favored moving forward with the sale. So,
Well, good for them. They must have got a good price for them. That was a good deal that Taylor's made all the way around, and made a lot of people a lot of money.
Exactly.
And they bought in early, which is unusual for the racing and everything. That's not really their style. They did very well.
Well, and boy, this seems like the Sunday Silence, the sequel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Potentially. Yeah.
Believe me, I'm betting on the Taylor boys to have made the right decision, though. They're pretty sharp.
Exactly. I've got to ask you also about another set of recent good performances. Mr. Freeze, who jumped up and then ran that big ack-ack and then just got beaten the Fayette.
Yeah, he'll be tough coming back over here, Churchill. He's doing very well. That's a nice colt. You know, he had some issues. End of his 3-year-old year, we could never figure it out. Something his throat, he had a little throat issue. We did a small procedure on him. It's good to see those things work, and he came back and running up to his potential.
Well, you know, wasn't going to be Tom's the Tot that day, certainly. But I thought he, you know, ran very credibly and backed up that ACAC performance. And you know, could be that, is he better at Churchill?
Hey, you know, he's solid anywhere. He's going to come out and fire. I think third race in his. And his form cycle will be big, and he still had to get some. We just had come off that mile race right into the mile of eight, and I think with that under his belt, a little more conditioning, he'll be ready to roll over here.
What are you going to do about Everfast, who I can tell is driving you crazy?
Yeah, he's on the farm, just taking a little break. I mean, you know what? That horse doesn't really drive me crazy. He's such an overachiever. And he went out and he did some big, great things for us this year, on second in some really good races, third and fourth, and picked up checks and made a lot of money. And so it was just time to let him rest. He's only about 800 pounds. The little guy will try hard every time. He trained hard every day. And he's just over time getting a little break.
Well, we're going to talk about a few other horses, and a lot of them are running later today at Churchill in this Pick 5. But before I get to that, I got other topics for you, and one I think you're going to really enjoy discussing. And I had texted you about the book, Better Lucky Than Good, that the Louisville Story Project, I had Joe Manning on last week, Dale. It was such a fun conversation, and so many people have bought the book. And I brought up with Joe how there's certain people that literally came back to life in this book through the stories that were told by the various participants, and your father being him and Blackie Huffman certainly are a thread woven throughout Better Lucky Than Good.
Yeah, they were big parts of this Church and House backside, and that is an exceptional book. And those stories are so good to read, and they're people I've known all my life. And to hear them tell their side of stories to the public is a good thing. Those are stories I've heard forever, and especially like Bob DeCenci. You know, Bob was a big influence in my life. He worked for my father a long time. My father really respected him, and Bob was a good horse trainer. He taught me a lot. When I first went to Miami, and I was 18 years old, and I wanted to go down there and work for Woody Stevens. I was sleeping in my car, and any place to live, and I got really sick with pneumonia. I think it was the condensation in the car at night. Bob took me in for about 2 weeks and nursed me back around, got me healthy again, and then put me back out on the streets, and I went to work for Woody. And it was a great win. That's a winner that went from a boy to a man. But if it wasn't for Bob, I might have been dead.
The Bob DeCenci chapter that starts the book, to me, it grabs you, and you know the rest of the stories as they unfold, and you know very quickly right after Bob is a storyline that you're so tied into, and that's Christina Bahena, and what she means to your operation, and so typical of the people, you know, that have been working for you for decades in many cases.
Right. Yeah, we all grew up together, and Christina's the queen of the barn. Of course, we grew up. I hired her when I was working for my dad in 1988, and she's still with us today. Her and her husband, Baltimore, a lot of people know her. He's my number one assistant. We just literally grew up together and learned the game together, and I've seen a lot of things happen, a lot of horses come and go through this barn, but we're all still here. And Christina's one of the best people I know. I told the story, she carried her two children across the desert for 2.5 days with water and jugs with the coyotes just to get a better life for them to get here. And then I've never seen a person more proud than the day she carried a flag into my office that Mitch McConnell had flown over the Capitol in her honor the day she became an American citizen. And that's truly the American dream. And that's why, as you know, I try to fight for the immigrants as much as possible with legal immigration and the people understanding who they are, what they are, why they're here, and that they're really great people.
We've had this discussion a lot. And, you know, as it happens, I didn't bring it up the other day with Gary Gullo on Monday, but we were talking about the Labor Department you know, the attacks really that are going on in New York, and some of the very strange confluences of political pressures involved, and certainly, immigrant population.
Can I tell you one thing about that labor board situation? Because the labor board came in on me, and people think that these guys are robbing from their help, which is complete nonsense. When I got in trouble, nobody on the racetrack at that point had ever had time clocks or people punching a clock to say how much it paid. So what they did was they took the paycheck, divided it by 40, because they thought they were going to come in and find out everybody's working for less than minimum wage. So in my case, they came in, they took the paycheck, just for simple math, divided it by 40. They said, all right, you pay $30 an hour. So now you got 10 hours overtime over here that you owe them $45 an hour for. Where if they had taken minimum wage and stretched that across 40 hours, we might have owned an hour or two of extra overtime. So it's just simple math on how you want to twist it. Liars figure lie. That's exactly a case of it. And it is. It's awfully odd that certain people who are kind of politically active seem to be the ones that are getting bombarded with these huge fines for no reason. So they fine me 100, maybe 100,000. They end up cutting it to like 30. And they're supposed to give it back to the fine employees. And not one person has ever gotten a penny back. And every one of them are still standing out here in my barn. It's not like they're hard to find. It's just some kind. It's a scam. Absolute. It's ridiculous that that can still happen in this country.
Well, and you know, critics of the industry are using it, you know, as a bludgeon, and you know, taking shots with you know, that, and making all kinds of assumptions. And you know, if you know, God forbid, you stand up and try to, you know, try to push back against it, and oh, then you're, you know, then you're just a mouthpiece for the horsemen. And I,
yeah, and
I,
you can't fight City Hall. It's a joke. In City Hall, believe me, people are being pinpointed for reasons. There's a lot of politics behind what is going on in New York. And it is. There's certain people inside of our game that want to make everybody look bad so they can lead to a different type of control mechanism of the whole game. So one of their strategies for getting there is to make things look worse, much, much worse than they are, and attack the people who go against them. And they're very powerful entities behind it all.
Well, we couldn't, you know, we couldn't have this segment if I didn't give you a chance to, you know, do a little lectioneering.
You know, I was having a good day, and every time you call, it seems like you get me fired up and aggravated.
Aggravated? Don't get aggravated.
First of all, we want to rehash to someone out of the gate. Then we want to get into politics, and then I'll be the next one. They'll come knocking on my door again, but I don't know what else they can get.
Let's talk about the horses that are running today, and maybe you can give some people. You know, I'm not gonna ask you for your ticket for what you're playing,
right.
But I do want to ask you a question that came up yesterday. Let's start with the first leg. Here is a horse that in Munster that, you know, you're obviously dropping down, and he's being, you know, pretty much merchandise today for 20,000, and he's going to be very attractive, I would imagine, and probably gets claimed today. Why would you and Calumet not geld him first and give him a chance as a gelding for a little bit to see if maybe that could help him capitalize on, you know, on what feels like a pedigree that and some potential?
I cut very few horses to begin with, and you go out and find me a dozen of them that got better after they were cut. You know, it's all just people doing something to be doing something. Somebody cuts this horse and makes him a much better horse, God bless him. You know, we can't give him testosterone, so why take the testosterone-producing mechanism away from him?
Interesting. That's a
take. I mean, have you ever know any big-time trainers in the past in the history? You ever see Wick Stevens cut one? And don't think Crim Fresh, he came to him as a gelding.
Well, Wayne says that 95% of them should be gelded.
They should be gelded because they're not going to be stallion prospects, maybe, but I don't think it makes them a better racehorse. Yeah, and he's right there that 99% of them aren't going to be stallion prospects. I don't see him leading a bunch of geldings over there.
That's true. Well, he does. He gets, you know, he gets pedigrees. You know, and actually, there was a couple of
the
things
two
about this.
Their pedigree out the window. If they can't run, they can't run.
Well, and you know, he is stake place though. I'm curious, yeah. why didn't you also, when he ran so well at Turfway, did you look at some spots for other synthetic opportunities for him?
Yeah, well, you did, but there's not that many left.
No, I know.
There aren't that many left, and you know, it's not synthetic. He's another horse like everybody's. He's a nice little horse. He's an overachiever. He tries hard, and you know, we can prime him for a couple of big time races, and he made us look good.
Well, How about today? Does he make people's tickets look good today?
Did we already talk about getting information in this
You're on the radio. You got to give people a little bit of insight.
Wait a second. There's some people listening to us?
Yeah, there's a few.
You should tell me that ahead of time.
In the seventh, you've got Lemon Scat for Frank Jones, your man. And this is an interesting filly. I mean, you tested her in the juvenile fillies at Kentucky Downs. In the Jessamine, she was up against it. How has she done since then?
She's trained well. Jessamine, I mean, she didn't have a shot. She came up, you see a horse kind of comes over her. She came back with a big gash down her leg, and that had to hurt her when she was running. She should run okay today, but that's a super tough race.
It really is. I just was amazed. I said yesterday to Ed DeRosa, I mean, we can't, in a lot of parts of the country, I mean, we can't get an allowance to go with two-year-olds. If you do, it's got like five or six. Look at this field.
Kentucky's become a two-year-old capital of horse racing.
Yeah.
I mean, starting with Ellis Park, the program they put together with their babies, and it seemed like just every two-year-old race over here feels.
Very much, and she came out of Lemon Scat came out of the Ellis summer, absolutely.
Yeah, she ran some good races. She's a nice little filly, and she'll run well today. But that's a tough race. I feel like Paul McGee has in there. She's a really good filly.
Past the plate, down on the rail. I thought the horse of Larry Jones was quite nice. I talked to him. Wex, yep, she's developing. And, you know, Rusty Arnold's got that ginger kitty for Calumet, and won first asking off the turf at Indiana, and is bred up and down for turf, only bred for turf. So,
yeah, that's a nice race. That's a good group of horses. I mean, I think Lemon Scat will be on my ticket. But I'm not going to leave her off. But it's a tough race, and if she wins, she can make the ticket.
Yeah, big time. You certainly don't want to get beat by a horse named Ask Bailey.
No, heck no. But, Bailey, my daughter you're talking to.
Well, you got that horse of Makers there, and Maker.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay.
I know where you're going, though. You don't want to ask Bailey anything. She'll give you her opinion.
let's talk about Ann Seek, who may be the best chance of the day for you.
Best chance of the day for me. He's a nice horse. And when he puts it all together and runs his races, he runs big. And that last race at Keeneland wasn't a bad effort, and he likes it over here. So I expect you're right, he's by far my best chance. And then we got Blankenbaker. He's a little horse. He ran a couple of good races, and he's run some bad ones. So I'm hoping he gets back on the right path. He came around claiming maidens on the turf at Churchill in the fall. So hopefully he'll jump up and run better today.
You put Miguel Mena on, and Miguel can elevate a horse, too. And
he's a very good jockey, very good kid, and underrated. He's been one of my guys since he came to Kentucky.
He's one of my favorites, too. Got us our win at Saratoga with Ausable Chasm. And I think the world of him. And now with a family.
Good young man.
Big time. Since you're not involved in the ninth, give everybody an opinion of this good 7-furlong allowance. I thought this was really tricky. And the more I looked at that crazy Thistledown horse, the more serious he looks.
He does, and if you look at the meet as a whole, see, even going back through September, then we got horses living from everywhere. They're coming here from Mahoney or Indiana Downs. They're winning here at Churchill Downs, and that shows there's good parity everywhere. So just because he's running Cleveland, you can't throw him out. I haven't gotten deep enough into the race yet. I'm sitting here right now getting a handicap more to really give an educated opinion to the audience. I don't want to bet the money on what I say unless I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you always know what you're talking about. It's Dale Romans, everybody, and Romans Racing.
Before you hang up, you had my man all day out here that day. You shook the shreds a little bit with him.
Well, he was. You want to talk about being in the bit? I mean, he let me tell you, he galloped out past the track kitchen. He was. In fact, I tried to get him today. I wanted him to talk about the taking chips out of knees and ankles, but. He was angry. I mean, you could tell he was really bothered by what transpired. And I actually was hoping he would have expanded on the process. In fact, you could even address this, Dale. You were there. How many times did the vets come and look at Dennis's moment?
Well, if they did miss it, and I understand you have been upset, it wasn't from lack of effort. Let's just say that. The effort was there. They were looking at every horse through a microscope. And it sounded like it'd be something easy, but it's not. It's not an easy thing to do to determine if a horse is fit enough to race or not. Because not all of them move, you know, like Rolex watches. And it's just their natural way, natural gait, and the way they do things. That was a tragedy that day, but it wasn't from lack of effort. There was plenty of good people putting in good time to try to make sure that the weekend was as safe as possible. I've never seen anything like it. And they ended up scratching quite a few horses. The scrutiny was there. Now, I don't know enough about the individual story of the horse, that the Mongolian horse, but I know that overall they were on it, and they were watching every move every horse made. And that one slipped through the cracks somehow. And he's right, we need to tighten up, make sure things don't slip through the cracks. But it's not as simple and as easy as people would make it sound.
Very, very true.
And I want to say Dr. Alday doesn't miss anything. He is the best, soundest veterinarian in the country. He can get angry quick, but he is the best.
As are you, my man. I appreciate it, Dale. This was great.
All right, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Good luck today. Get lucky. Four chances. Actually, he's got a couple of horses early on the card, too, in the fourth race. I didn't even bring those up, as it happens. He's got that pair, and I didn't look at anything past the before the fifth. He's got Obene and Fayetteville in the fourth. Are they both? Did they both make the field? Because it was an over. That was a AE group. Another race that got 16 horses. Yeah, they both made it in. Obene 20-1, and Fayetteville 12-1. I used to have to make sales calls when I was at Proctor Church out of Charlotte. Used to go through Fayetteville and up into the Eastern Carolina. Not as much. I mostly went from Charlotte down to Savannah, but occasionally we go out on the eastern half when Winn-Dixie would have openings. We'd have to go. Did I ever tell you that story? The Winn-Dixies. Look up Winn-Dixie Jabbers. We'll take a break. 90 minutes in. 90 to come. Pete Fortital going to join us next. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
With Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races about 20 plus to the top of the hour. I don't even know what we're doing hour three. A little out of control today. Pete Fornatale joining us, and you were busy with the doctor's appointment. You were like the third person that I knew of today that was at the doctor's.
I don't know weird. What it is about this time of year for people in our business. It's like a little bit of a chance before the madness of the Breeders' Cup is behind us. The madness of the holidays is in front of us, and you better get that flu shot real quick. And let me tell you, I was poked and prodded, and they left no part untouched, Steve. Let's just say that. I'm glad to have that in the rearview mirror, and now we just have to, you know, wait for these blood tests to come back, and hopefully I get the proverbial clean bill of health.
Well, it's funny you talk about the vaccination kind of thing, and Tina and I are both actually late this year, I think, going. We're not going to check with Jenny McCarthy, but we just haven't had a chance to run over, and you know, you can do it right at you can do it at the grocery store. You can, you know, soon you'll be able to do it at a gas station. it's unbelievable. But Andy, you know, I had Andy yesterday, and I talked to him after the show, and he got the shingles thing, the shingles vaccination, and he said he was. They told him 1 out of 6 will have a little bit of a reaction to it. And he, of course, is one of the six. I mean, it's just... It's actually very predictable that Andy would be one of the six that would have some, you know, some deleterious effect, you know, to the shot. And so he said he was all saluzin you know, a little, almost like a fluey, you know, fluey feeling from it. It's kind of funny.
Better than the shingles. Going to be better than the shingles, though.
That's what he said.
I've never gotten the flu shot before because I was afraid of hearing those kind of stories. And then I guess it was 2 years ago, you know, having the little kid in school. She's like a little petri dish, you know,
yeah, exactly.
The things she brings home. And I had a horrible winter. So last year I decided to try something different. And I didn't get any of the flu effects that some people, I think it's pretty darn rare and more of a narrative at this point than a reality, but didn't get any symptoms like that. But I was surprised that my arm like hurt for a couple of days. Doctor said it's totally normal. It's like you feel like it sort of felt like a very, very large man punched you in the arm for a couple of days. But I was much healthier last year than the year before, and so I'm sticking with it. But I'm sorry to hear that about Andy. That sounds miserable.
Well, I'll check in with him later and see if he recouped. Had a conversation. I know you've been doing the same thing, and we're not done this week. I think we got two more conversations tomorrow and Friday on BCBC. But Dick joined us yesterday at Girardi, and we had really a fun 45 minutes, Pete. I don't know if you had a chance to listen yet.
I haven't yet. It's on my list. Marshall Graham told me it was great. Obviously, I'm always interested when Dick comes on your airwaves, and it is all ready to be downloaded and listened to over at stevebick.com on my next I'll probably listen later today when I go pick up a parent from school, actually. And it's great. I think there's sort of a right way and a wrong way to use these Breeders' Cup plays, right? I mean, and I think the wrong way, surprise, surprise, you see it on Twitter, you know, what was this nitwit thinking thing? And it's like, look, that's not for me what this is about. Like, yes, you can learn some things not to do and maybe even write about them or talk about them, but can we keep it a little more constructive than some of the stuff out there of people just looking to bash people? I find that counterproductive. And I'm not in our analysis of the plays on the show, and I'm actually going to be writing a little thing for the BrisNet betting guide about it, about the plays as well. And I'm just trying to stay a little bit more focused on what we can learn. I don't like it. I don't like that it just becomes a shooting gallery of nitpicking things. I think there's a way to do it much more constructively, and there's no better way than what you've been doing, Steve, with, you know, getting it from the horse's mouth and hearing the thoughts that went into people's heads. You really can't help but learn something, not just about contest strategy, but also about how to specifically structure wagers and risk and reward and all these and bankroll management too, all these important concepts that are coming across. And Dick's plays were certainly instructive. I mean, what a massive hit that was he had in the turf. And then that had, it's also interesting to see the knock-on effects that one decision has for another, knowing, for example, you know, if Dick doesn't hit the turf, Brad Anderson doesn't win the tournament. And what I mean by that is, by setting the bar as high as he did, whatever it was, 138,000 after he cold-cocked bricks and mortar over Unified in the turf, that's the reason why Brad Anderson didn't put his 25,900 all in on his top pick, McKenzie, and why he decided to go to his second choice, Vino Rosso, and eventually ended up winning the tournament. That's the kind of game theory, decision tree type of storytelling we get to learn about and think about when we analyze these plays that are published by the Breeders' Cup.
And I thought, and I probably should have driven this point home with Dick yesterday, and it occurs to me now. But, you know, we were talking, you know, sequentially as the races were unfolding and so forth. But in retrospect, you really realize that he had to adapt. And maybe that's one of the lessons, you know, without dealing in specifics or talking about, you know, betting whips and betting multi-race and betting, you know, in race, whatever. As opposed to worrying about that, one of the takeaways is that every plan that Dick had Saturday expected to be in position to hammer away at Spun to Run. And it just so happens that he struck out race after race. You know, 0 for Friday, and then right away was in trouble right from the filly and mare sprint into the turf sprint, and then it comes to the dirt mile, and he doesn't have the expected bankroll leverage that he wanted to have to go all in on Spun to Run. And he in fact played shockingly conservative with the horse that he came there to bet Pete. And so it, to me, the best story about Dick is that he, you know, stayed focused, didn't get frustrated or upset that he missed out on what was his prime bet of the weekend, and then utilized a secondary opinion that was based on workout information to hit bricks and mortar United.
It is a great story. So he just didn't think the risk and reward was there to bet more in the dirt mile after that. I'm looking at the plays now. It looks like in the end he bet 700 into the race, including a win bet that returned more than $5,000 and then doubles that ended up missing. But he had more on the bankroll but decided at that point to hold a little back. Is that what he explained?
Essentially, yeah. And so he just wasn't, you know, he wasn't where he had expected to be to then, you know, hammer spun to run to then be in position later, you know, for his secondary opinion. He did come back and he knew he was gonna, one thing that he said I thought was interesting was that he knew he was cashing the sprint, that when Imperial Hint disappeared from the field, that he knew it was strictly a Mattoli Chancelot exacta, and that was going to be, you know, the prime play going into the late stages, and it was.
Yes, that ended up returning 7,800, it looks like, and putting him in position to take that late swing. And I think the late swing he took is a great example of how the Breeders' Cup is different than so many other betting days, right? What if I told you that a trainer with as great a reputation as Richard Mandela in a graded stakes race was going to have a horse maybe doesn't look like he fits on form or on paper, but it's Richard Mandela in a race he's won before, and the horse has looked amazing in the mornings and has a positive buzz about him. That feels like the kind of horse to me that maybe is, on a regular day, is 15-1 on the morning line and goes off at 8-1, 6-1, everybody being a wise guy that we see day in, day out. But you go to the Breeders' Cup, of course, and you add in all these horses and the international element, and that same horse with those same admittedly soft angles ends up going off every bit of 50-1 and paying that in the exacta. The Breeders' Cup is just the greatest. I mean, I almost feel like I need to allocate. I do need to allocate more money for the 2 days of the Breeders' Cup. These are opportunities like we don't see any other time in the year. Even the other big day undercards, mini Breeders' Cups, those are great, and I have no problem betting them. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't bet them, but in terms of relative dollar amounts, for me at least, I just feel like you get reasons to bet 50-1 shots a lot more on Breeders' Cup Day, and you get legitimately excellent paper on 10 and 15-1 shots even. It's fantastic, and this is a note to myself as much as to you and the audience, Steve, is I really think it's worth allocating even more of the annual resources to take some swings and fish in these pools, because I just think they're the best opportunities, and I think these Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge plays can be a useful tool to give some ideas of how you might play them, whether you're playing in the contest or just playing along at home.
Well, Pete, and I don't know, we actually haven't, I haven't taken calls in forever, but I think maybe with you on too, I think we've got somebody that wants to visit, and Deja says, take the call. All right, Deja, we'll do this. So Pete, it becomes a call in, I guess. Good morning. And I don't know who it is. Good morning.
Good morning. Who's this?
It's Steve.
Hi, honey. Are you having a happy birthday?
Oh my! It's Tina, actually. It's
your wife.
I was wondering if we were going to talk about the big event that was today. I'm glad
this is very funny.
How are you, honey? Are you?
I'm good.
This is. Did I surprise you?
You did. This is actually very funny. You've been on before. It's not like, you know, Tina's been on the show as a mutual, you know, in her mutual clerk days, but not really as my spouse.
Do you guys have some special plans? Some special plans for to celebrate the big circles around the sun for Steve today?
We do. We're actually going to dinner tonight to one of his favorite Italian places in Saratoga with two of my closest friends and two of our closest friends.
What time am I showing up?
There you go. Well, that's it. 6 o'clock. I've got it, and we got to be careful because I don't want to insult all my other favorite Italian restaurants in Saratoga, because collectively,
you've never been in an Italian restaurant you haven't liked.
That's sort of true. It's very, very true.
Man with good taste.
It begins with the bread and the love of bread and the
that's
dip
true.
That they give you. Oh, I mean butter.
Should be oil at the Italian place. Come on.
Both. They do. I can go either way. I can have the oil or the. But I love butter. She's right. In fact, we polished off a baguette last night because the kitchen we still are a little hamstrung. We're not a little hamstrung. We're very hamstrung in terms of the kitchen utility. I'll be cooking the turkey in the basement with the downstairs kitchen. Yeah, it's going to be funny.
The kids won't care, honey.
No, they won't.
So happy.
They won't.
Thrilled.
Well, honey, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. I love you. This was an inspired idea. Good job.
Surprise, surprise.
Did you use the toll-free number?
Goodbye.
Thank you, baby. Unbelievable. That's my wifey, as we say around the house, the love of my lifey. And that was very clever of her, I must admit.
Great stuff. That's one of the best stuff right there. That's good stuff.
It took me a second to recognize her voice over the air. That was pretty funny.
That's fantastic.
Now we're on the rocks, Pete. What? she completely threw me off my game. That was very clever, Tina.
Oh, it's good. And you know, you shouldn't work that. Don't worry about it. You shouldn't have to work that hard on your birthday. Just see, spitball your way through the show. You'll be absolutely fine.
I appreciate it. Well, you know, there's a chance. I said the same thing to earlier to Dick Powell. Don't know next week. We may be Wednesday. We may be off Wednesday, Thursday. A lot of times we'd like to have the Friday show for all the good racing, and the cards aren't drawn on Wednesday for Saturday. So my tendency has been to take Wednesday, Thursday off. So I don't know if we'll talk. What you've always got an interesting Thanksgiving. In case we don't talk, you come up here, don't you? Sometimes.
Sometimes we bounce all around. We're doing this year because the idea of having the family come to Breeders' Cup fell through, but everybody was super psyched about a California trip. So our thought was, since Taryn will only miss a couple of days of school, that we're going to do a California trip for Thanksgiving. So we fly out on Saturday. I'm actually going to do Frank Scatoni's seminar at Del Mar on Sunday.
Oh, fun.
Any listeners are out at Del Mar, come and check us out and say hi. I know I met some At the Races listeners out there last year. And then we're going to hang. We're going up. Last year we did the Hotel Del. This year we're going up North County Way to the Omni in Carlsbad. And going to be, it looks like we've got a lot of amazing kids activities. We've got so many friends out there are going to do a little Thanksgiving dinner at Mille Fleur and basically see friends and do a lot of swimming with Taryn. It should be, I am working. I'll bring out the kit and we'll definitely do some shows. So if you are going to show in there, you're hard up for a guest, I can certainly participate. But mostly it's going to be hanging out and having fun in the sunshine out in California and getting in a few days at Del Mar and seeing the likes of Duke Matisse and Frank Scatoni and Benny South Street and all those people. Hopefully it'll be a good Leo.
Nice.
Hopefully it'll be a good opportunity to connect with some California friends and have a good time.
No, it sounds fabulous. And I remember you went to the Del Coronado last year. And since you mentioned, and since the birthday topic is hot and heavy here, I noticed on Twitter last night that somebody wished, who was, in fact, it was Quigley. Quigley wished Paul Matisse, a happy birthday. And over the years, I've never, there's certain people, I've come to realize, some people,
your birthday buddies. Yeah, exactly. Identify them. Yeah.
So I wrote to Paul last night, and I when I saw that, I said, "Geez, I never knew you were on the 19th." I said, "Mine's tomorrow," and he came back and he said, "Happy birthday, thanks." He said, "Chick's birthday is tomorrow." So his dad's birthday is tomorrow, as is Marty McGee's.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, kind of funny.
You want to know how much of a wise guy Paul Matisse is? I shot him the note yesterday, the happy birthday message, and I said, "Do you have any special plans?" And he says, "Well, there's a surprise party for me." Now that's how much of a wise guy he is. He even knows about his own surprise party. I didn't think that's how surprise parties were supposed to work, but I'm sure it worked out well.
Oh, that's great. I think Tina knows better than to try to foist a surprise party on me. If she's done it, she's pulled it off magically because, I don't know. The birthday, the whole birthday thing is a weird, especially these milestone. I'm sure as anybody has listened this morning and where I've been, in the predictably reflective mood. I mean, it doesn't take much to get me to be reflective.
Sure.
Let alone turning 60. So.
Yeah, I get people who aren't into them, but I always figure it's just a good opportunity to, it's an excuse to get together and see people and.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing to be more reflective in life. I think it leads to good decisions, positive changes. So I get the people who are not birthday people, but I'm pro birthday, not least because I get to celebrate it in the middle of Saratoga. So it's always that extra element of fun. It was a bummer in school having the summer birthday because your friends are away, so you don't really get to do that whole thing. But then to get older and to realize, wait, this means I can have my birthday party the night of the Whitney every year. That's okay by me.
You and Bill Mott, right?
We're days apart. Yes.
What's your record on your birthday? Do you win on your birthday?
Not anywhere near as good as Bill Mott. I actually famously lose every year on my birthday.
what do we obviously owe the public something here. Let's see about the weekend. I was very remiss here, pulling up the schedule. Let me quickly, advise that. Do you know of anything that, we're missing that we've got to let people know about?
I think things are going to start getting hot and heavy in terms of NHC qualifying over at the horse players site. This is now that the BCBC is in the rear view mirror, a lot of contest players, that's going to really take a ton of their focus. And I know that the Hawthorne events coming up the week right after Thanksgiving, a lot of folks specialize in getting their qualifications done at that event. But it's a little bit of a lull, I think, for the live bank schedule, but the on-track stuff and the online stuff that is out there is going to start to take on added significance with the NHC dates looming in February. And gosh, it's almost time to start booking our travel for that, isn't it, Steve?
I actually just looked the other day, and I'm actually going to be out the whole week, which is unusual. And we'll also, when we come to you from Arizona, we'll also have some information. Of course, there's the NHC workshop for racetracks at Symposium, and you should sign up for that. Yeah, that's a thing, actually, if you're not aware. And for those of you that are in marketing departments around racetracks, in fact, I guess it was the guys from Century Mile or Century Downs, or maybe both, that were asking. We met them in Vegas, and they were asking about you know, they want to try to make some plans and get, you know, get involved. But one of the things, one of the ways to do it is, you know, to get a hold of Michelle Ravencraft. The workshop is on Monday. Here, I'll give everybody the information. Monday, December 9th, 3 to 5, you know, at the Lowe's at Ventana Canyon Ranch. And you've got another 10 days or so to get a hold of Michelle. And, in fact, if you come to the workshop, and Michelle will lay out, and Keith Shamblin, they, you know, lay out the marketing, you know, the marketing plans and how, you know, how you merchandise, you know, the contest, the, you know, the build up and qualifiers, you know, they'll walk you through it. And you would get, $500 off, the cost of a NHC seat, you know, for, you know, what it costs the, you know, the entities, the tracks and the ADWs, you know, to be included in the system. So, M. Ravencraft at NTRA.com for more information about the NHC workshop Monday, December 9th.
I think J.K. is going to be out at the symposium representing the In the Money family. There's some sort of a horse players panel. I know Marshall Graham is one of the other names on there. I don't know if all the T's have been crossed and I's have been dotted, but last I heard, it sounded like he was going to be out. I'd love to do it. It's a tough time of year to travel for me. One of these years I'll get there. Not going to make it happen, but it sounds like JK is going to be on hand to get the feel for what it's all about. It seems like it's good good opportunity for networking, latest of what's going on industry-wise, and I'm sure he'd be willing to come on and oh, yeah, do some radio with you if you're willing to have him.
Well, he'll also be willing to go out on the town with college students. I will guarantee that the University of Arizona RTIP kids, take Jonathan out, show him Tucson.
It's a great idea. It's supposed to be cool. I don't, you know, I've only been to Arizona once.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I was working on a book project, and I was in Phoenix for a couple of days, and basically just went from the Athletes Performance Studios where I was working on the book to the ballpark and back. But I've heard there's a lot of good stuff going on, so I'm sure he'll be eager to do that. And we did, actually, I don't know if you know this, Steve, we did a guest lecture a few weeks ago for one of Hammer's, Hammer's class.
Yeah,
and
we discussed
it. We're great. They
talked about
great questions, and that's right. They asked great questions, and we had they definitely, I loved how interested they were in the things that pertain to horse players for people who want to get in on the management side of the business. I thought that was a great sign, and I'm sure JK would love to talk to them further out there in person with a libation or two. Why not?
You know, you just said something that provokes a question, a follow-up before we wrap. And I forgot about your baseball ties. Are you following this outlandish Major League Baseball plan to gut the minor leagues?
I've seen the headlines, and I haven't read into it. I frankly, with all the nonsense going on in and around our sport, I haven't had the bandwidth to fully look. But, you know, I'm a huge minor league baseball fan.
So am I.
I'm skeptical about anything that's going to contract that, what I think is one of the best arms they have to get fans right now, given the cost and timing of Major League Baseball. You know, when it came time to take Perrin to her first game, it was not even a consideration to go to a Major League ballpark. We went down to Coney Island and had a great old time. And you know, my visceral, without having read the pieces, which is always a mistake to comment before you've done that, that said, I don't like anything that has the ability to take those opportunities away from families and fans going forward.
It is disgusting and outlandish, and it's being met with congressional pushback. The Congress is going to act against it.
I mean,
it's an unbelievable story that they somehow, there had been you know, natterings about it, and then, you know, about some consolidation and moving some leagues and teams and this and that, and then when the details emerged here yesterday, I mean, it's insidious. They want to slash 42 teams out of the minor leagues, and also eliminate a couple of the short seasons. And I mean, it's really short sighted on their part. And this actually fits into the. And I'm bringing it. People are thinking, oh, what do we care about the minor league baseball? There's a parallel here, and you brought it up, Pete, instantly, which is, you know, the gateway sport. You know, the gateway. When you go to Fairmont Park, and they released their schedule earlier this week too, and they're very excited about what's happening in East St. Louis. When you go to Fairmont, and the first time you see a horse race. You don't know that it's a $4,000 claiming race or the Illinois Derby. It looks the same to you. It's exciting. There's pageantry. There's color. It doesn't matter that it's lower priced racing. It's an avenue to indoctrinate people to the sport and to wagering, and they'll grow from there. You can't cut out marketplaces just because the racing is less glorious than it is at the A tracks. And it's the same case with minor league baseball. I mean, not everybody can go spend $60 on a seat for a family of four, to go to a major league game and spend $400. Take the family to see the Charlotte O's, or the Gastonia B's or whoever, the whatever league it is, the Little Falls Mets. I read that article last night and was horrified.
Yeah, I'll have to get into all the details of it, and I still know people who are very involved writing about and broadcasting about baseball. I do obviously precious little of that at this point with all the racing stuff going on, but I am curious to find out. And I hope one of the short seasons they're not looking to get rid of is the New York Penn League, because, I mean, that to me is super fun to follow.
Well, it sort of is, and they would take a couple of the teams and move them into the Eastern League, and you know, there's some of that going on, that certain teams that have got either a foundation or a serious foundation or history. Although I did see that there were some teams that are like been around for 100 years that they're thinking of disappearing. The whole thing
right.
is no. It's. I've held my tongue about changing the name, the nickname of some of these teams, so that they can sell more apparel. That annoys me, to some of these idiotic names they've come up with, the lug nuts and the wombats he's trying to come up with some silly things. There's certain teams that should never, they shouldn't ever, the Memphis Chicks. I mean, I think they changed the name of the Memphis Chicks. I mean, that's just, I'm sorry. There's certain names that are just should be sacrosanct.
Baseball history is an important part of being a baseball fan. So anytime you rip it, you tear at those, you want to tear at those strings, there should be a really good reason. And I need to do a little bit more research into this topic, but I'm skeptical at best.
Well, one good thing happened this week at the major league level, which is that the Brewers are bringing back the baseball glove logo.
Great logo. Seen it around. I've seen like three people in Brooklyn the last 2 days now wearing, we're like bringing it out. You can tell how it resonated with people. And that was, of course, that was when I was getting into baseball. That and of course they were so, well, that one year anyway, they were so darn good in '82. It's good to see that back.
I love that logo. I was a Brewers fan, and that team you bring up was a favorite of mine.
Harvey's Wallbangers.
You bet. And, Gorman Thomas and Cecil Cooper and they Robin Yount. I mean, that was a terrific team, that era. I love that old logo of theirs with the barrel, with the baseball player that's actually a beer barrel. You ever see that one? From early on? That was like their first logo before they went to the MB.
Good old Bernie Brewer.
Bernie Brewer, absolutely. I saw a doubleheader. We had our friend Randy from our baseball league, who's a pharmacist, VA hospital in Milwaukee, and he's from Wauwatosa. And we all went up to Milwaukee and hung out for like 5 days during one summer. And we went to the Wisconsin State Fair, which is insane and fabulous. And we went to a Brewer doubleheader in Milwaukee County Stadium. And I'm very glad that I was able to see a game in County Stadium.
It was very cool. I didn't get there. I've only been to the new one, but it's a good place for baseball. Their fans travel well too.
Pete, I appreciate it. I've dragged you across the finish line and around to the backside. I will. If we don't talk next week, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
It's always a pleasure. We did get, I think, two visits worth of silly material anyway, into one. But we talked about some legit contest stuff, too. I look forward to coming back on the show. There's going to be a lot more stuff to report coming soon.
Absolutely. And this weekend, you know, given the kind of quirky calendar, there's no on-sites this weekend. Next week on the 30th is that big, after Thanksgiving, is the big one at Hawthorne. And Monmouth has got next Saturday, too, the 30th. But strictly online this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Pete Fornatale, everybody. And look for him at Del Mar next week, Thanksgiving week. Let's take a break. And coming up on 15 into hour 3, got a couple of options here to close out this rather frivolous Wednesday for my 60th birthday. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's BYK, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's BYK to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Drinking in the morning sun.
We're back at the races. 15 into hour three. And just checking to see if we have got the changes. I just reached out to Marty. He's on his way over to the racetrack. So maybe we'll get Marty in at the end of the show to get his final opinions. Let's see. Yeah, they went up about 10 minutes ago. So let's go over the changes. We actually got a perfect window to do this, and I've got the write-up done. It's at Derby Trail, and Gus Alonso did one as well. I think our opinions are pretty close, so I'll have my stuff up, my ideas, and Gus's. They'll be up at the website as soon as we get off the air. All right, let's take a look, starting in the sixth race, and this is important. You've got Believe in Holidays. The 10 is a scratch. That's the 5-2 favorite. And so that is going to affect the approach. You can also take out the 5, Goose Drank Wine, from Randy Matthews, who actually, was maybe a C on some people's tickets. And the 11 is coming out, the 20-1 shot of David Vance's Pull My Chain. So take out the 5, 10, and 11 out of the first leg. And that's significant, particularly with the 10 coming out. All right. The seventh race is free and clear. And this is actually a positive. Sometimes you get contenders out and it narrows your ticket. Other times contenders come out and it's torture. I'll give you an example. The 11 through 16 are all scratched, and thank goodness, because the 11, Witte, was very much a consideration had she drawn in to that seventh race. But you can take out the 12, 13, 14, the AEs, and take out the 2 MTOs as well. All right, so 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, they all come out of the second leg here of the pick 5. The third leg, and third leg, which is a small field, loses 2 horses, and Fullness of Time, that was the David and Gordo purchase from the summer bloodstock sale. And look elsewhere. Shakes Creek comes out. And that actually is a positive, at least personally. I thought Shakes Creek was a little interesting, the Gennaro Garcia. And that doesn't bother me that Shakes Creek comes out. So that leaves us with the obvious players like Gunnett. And we'll have to take a look and see how does this affect. We'll go back and we'll take a look at the pace scenario and see what this does to it. But when now it's a field of 6, and frankly, there'll be a lot of people now that'll just buy this race with a field of 6. So right now, with 3 out of the first leg, we're 9 by 10 by six. The ninth race is free and clear, no changes. So field of 12, complete. And then that gets us to the 10th, and there is some movement here. All right. First of all, Ramsey Solution, we knew that Ramsey Solution was a gelding, first-time gelding on Ramsey Solution. That's the three. And then the scratches are the AEs. Okay, no harm done here. The AEs all come out. So this field stays intact as well. So you are now, with the revisions, with the scratches, one, two, three, basically five live horses came out of the sequence. 9 by 10, by 6, by 12, by 10. So it's still a fairly daunting, still a fairly daunting slate left in here. All right. And you know what we'll do? We'll pull in Marty. Actually, Marty just begged off. He said he really can't. He's not going to be there someplace where he can, sit and go over the sequence. All right. So the biggest decision, the biggest change is going to be Believe in Holidays coming out of that first leg. And I put Wild About Candy, like we talked yesterday with Ed DeRosa, I put Wild About Candy on top and Fra Mauro next. Then with Believe in Holidays out, that moves Moonster in. And I'm going to have to look back here and see if I want to maybe. I don't see. I mean, who else was I worried about? I guess Amos a little bit with Candy Store probably moves in as the fourth horse. But to some degree, I might want to take advantage of Believe in Holidays coming out and maybe just try to tiptoe through with Wild About Candy and Fra Mauro. That may be the thing to do, and use Moonster as a C. Right now, the ticket as I wrote it earlier this morning before we started, I had gone four deep. So I'll either put Candy Store in as the fourth horse replacing Believe in Holidays. Now, after talking to Dale, I guess I have to use Moonster, right? if I take Moonster out of the ticket and he wins, that there's no worse feeling in the world. The second leg, I'll go through the ticket as I wrote it up. One of the things that scratch does, it opens up the possibility of not using a single. Right now, I do have a single involved, and it is Wex, that Larry Jones that I talked so favorably about yesterday with Ed. I made it 6-1-4-8 in here. Wex would pass the plate, Morning Gold, and Ask Bailey. But and I was going to try to single Wex. I mean, this is the 2-year-old allowance race that is even as acknowledged by Dale, it came up very balanced. I mean, that horse of Rusty Arnold's that I mentioned getting on the grass, that to me, that Ginger Kitty, it is not impossible. Maker Spun Easy, 15-1. Fifth at Narragansett for Ingrid Mason is okay. This is a very tough group. The Brad Cox Across, I thought needed to improve. Dale's horse for Frank Jones, Lemon Scat, you can kind of tell that Dale, recognized what a good group this is. But maybe I'll tell you this, if I go too deep here, instead of four deep in the first leg, then I would expand. I would certainly add Past the Plate. And, you know, one of the reasons I was hoping to get Marty in here was to, you know, to get Marty's. He picked his brother's horse, and he, that's not unusual. I mean, a lot of times I think he probably feels obligated to pick Paul's horses, you know, because if he doesn't, if he doesn't use them and they run well, you know, Marty's probably got to take, I'm sure over the years, you know, has taken his share of barbs from people. Oh, sure, you didn't tell us about Paul's horse. But past the plate, unprovoked, Dale Romans had nice things to, you know, I think he indicated that that's the horse that he fears. So I would probably add past the plate if I'm only going to go too deep in the first leg. Then there is that third leg now that we lose Shakes Creek, who was my fourth choice. And I went 6-7-5-3. Carte Blanche, Gunnet, and Seek, and Shakes Creek. So Shakes Creek comes out, and in this mile allowance, I would probably, I'm probably going to elevate Dizzy Sight, the Rusty Arnold, into the fourth slot. And as it was, I was using 5-6-7, and Seek, Carte Blanche, and Gunnet. You know, and Gunnet, as Ed said yesterday, Gunnet's a horse I think small tickets are going to lean on. But I think I felt like I wanted to use, you know, Dale acknowledged that Ant Seek's his best shot of the day. And Carte Blanche to me, it's funny, I didn't, when I handicapped the first time, when I looked at this card, before we talked with Ed, I did not necessarily think that Carte Blanche was a horse I was going to end up, you know, using prominently. But then upon reexamination, I kind of took a shine. For starters, it's a turnback from the mile and a 16th at Keeneland back to one turn. And this is a horse, Carte Blanche, who has been much better one turning. And that appealed to me. He's kept good company, this horse, and he's never missed the board in four tries at the one turn mile, at a mile period. And it seemed to me that, and he's also never off the board at Churchill in four tries for Wes Ollie. Miguel Mena is a regular rider, and so I the more I looked, the more I liked. Carte Blanche, you know, has been able to, you know, kind of react to pace scenarios. I thought there was a few things to like about Carte Blanche, and 6-1 morning line. Don't know if he'll still be 6-1 now in a field of six. I mean, this field went from 8 down to 6. The fourth leg unchanged, and I put Curate on top. 9-2 appealed, and then Dundeal, who may try to wire this group, Chris Landeros, for father-in-law Ian Wilkes, and then Cowboy Karma, who seems to be, you know, kind of a universal good thing as a price idea. I saw a lot of Cowboy Karma, as it were. And then, as I said to Dale, the more I looked at the race, the more the horse from Thistledown, who Ed, you know, acknowledged, you know, he was absolutely going to use prominently. But the more I looked, the more that horse looks like a real horse. I mean, this is not a case. It's a Malibu Moon, and I don't, you know, from a fig standpoint and from a pace scenario standpoint, I don't know how you, you know, easily exclude Moon over Seba. So I went 8-3-9-7, and I went six deep. I I used 389 as the A's and 4710 as the B's. And the other ones beside Moon Over Seba, Mojo Man for Jimmy DeVito, and Proshima for Mott. So I thought that this was the race that you wanted to maybe spread the most, the ninth. And then finally, with no changes in that tricky 10th, and I, as I said yesterday to Ed, it just seems like you have to give, if not special consideration to the new faces, you at least have to really, you know, really acknowledge that the ones that haven't been running against each other, that one of them probably jumps in and you know, makes the impact. And the firsters, of course, are Dermot for Brendan Walsh. This is the Kitten's Joy. And 10-1, Gabe Saez. You've got Eddie Keneally with Right On Kid, the Lemon Drop Kid, that showed some speed early and then faded. It was 20-1 in the debut. I'm using, that's not a firster, obviously, but the lightly raced, you know, lightly raced horses in these scenarios, you know, that are kind of murky, they deserve, especially second timers, they deserve a long, long look. Alexander Hamilton on the outside for Norm Cassie, for Joe Minor, the point of entry gelding. Certainly seems like he's worked steadily. And as it happens, Norm has got a nice record with horses debuting at a mile and beyond. 17% with 12 starters. So two for 12 and a 328 ROI. So I think Alexander Hamilton is getting, you know, plenty of long looks. The first North America, Rudy Brissett, made my day. I ended up picking that horse second. 12-1, adds Lasix, and it had three races, a mile and a quarter debut, actually, at Cork, which says something, and that this was a horse that they thought was going to need a route of ground, came back and ran at a mile a couple of times, and best effort came in that second start at Limerick, and in a very cheap maiden. I mean, so this is a horse that is, you know, that from a class standpoint abroad, you know, it ran at Cork, Limerick, and Killarney. That none of those are the Curra. the pots were, it was a maiden 17.9, a 14,000, and a 13.9. So, you know, this was a horse running at the low level, in Ireland. You know, is coming off of a near bullet preparing and adds Lasix. So I thought there was enough of a couple of hints of talent, and, you know, and a Hypnotist to me is the absolute horse to beat here. And if the McKeever trainee runs back to that Keeneland try, he should win. I mean, he doesn't have to win, but he should. And, with an effort back to that try. So, you know, then you've got horses that have got hints of ability. Ian Wilkes with the Green Lantern, that Iridescence from South Africa. And if I'm going to guess, and I don't know if my friends and partners, Dr. Miller and Steve Carlin, that are, you know, very involved with Barry Irwin and Team Valor. I think Iridescence, I think she was a Team Valor horse, and now Green Lantern, she's in the Broodmare band. Illidian showed speed in the second start, and on the dirt, that for me, that is always a big positive, you know, flag waver. When a horse, second time, third time, when a horse has not shown speed, and then suddenly, even if they get beat, and if they get beat significantly, if they end up fading, they're not an auto toss. When a horse shows speed for the first time, it's generally an indication of a positive direction. And in a lot of ways, horses like this get dirtied up by the fade part, you know, that they were first or second, you know, for, let's say, you know, a half mile. And you'll see, you know, you'll see that they were on or near the lead as Lydian was on the lead, and then ultimately settled and sort of faded back. But I lingered a long time, and I used Lydian as a C, at the very least. So a difficult ending to a challenging sequence. This is going to be a lot of fun today. I'm looking forward to this sequence. And starts at 3:36 is the first post. So, and we'll watch around the conditions too. Let me take a quick glance back up at the top and see if they've given the, nope, they haven't offered us the course conditions. And so let me go to plan B on the course condition report and tell you what I discovered. Here we go. Churchill Downs. They're fast, and the turf is listed as good. All right. So a little bit of cut to the ground for the two legs of the pick five that are on the grass, the 7th and the 10th. And a reminder, too, the 10th is an $11,000 carry over in the high five. Let's take the last break of the morning. Scully begged off. It's his anniversary. Isn't he sweet? He's taking his wife to lunch. I love it. Good for him. That's all right. That's fine. He's entitled. You know, his wife could have, you know, his wife could have brought him lunch, like kind of similar to Tina calling into the show. Take a break. Back after this. We'll wrap it up.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood fraternities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
When I came to Spain and I saw people
barking. Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
All day, all night, all day, all night. Viva la fiesta, viva la noche, viva los DJ. I couldn't believe what I was living, so I called my friend Johnny and I said to him, Johnny, la gente está muy loca.
We usually play this for Dr. Allday. If you want to have the smile of the day, go pull up the original video for this. Sac Noel. Loca people. It's great. When I went to Spain and I saw people partying, it's very funny. It's a great. That was a great dance hit from. I'm very susceptible to the Euro dance music. One scratch mistake I made here, and. It's not a scratch. Fullness of Time is in, and it was a gelding. That's why it showed up on the page, but is only gelded, not scratched. So in that third leg, Shakes Creek comes out, and you got to make a decision about how she's going to do with this flatter gelding. You'll recall, of course, when Chad Brown had him for Seth Klarman. A couple of good seconds on the dirt, and that was early on, last summer at Saratoga and Belmont, and then, missed a big chunk of time. And, came back and broke his maiden finally at Monmouth in June, and then went through the sale. So, down on the rail, has worked okay. I mean, seems to be working okay. That race at Monmouth, mile and a 16th, was two turns. So this is back to one turn. And, his other tries, his other three races, where he was beaten fairly soundly, came in one turn configuration. So I was dubious on Fullness of Time coming into this. And unless he comes back and he's been away 180 days. He's been away, 5.5 months, almost 6 months, 172 days. And he is a 3-year-old. So if he comes back an improved horse, he's very competitive here. And this is a funny field because virtually everybody has got maybe one, in some cases, two races that are very solid and, would win this. And even, Tommy Drury, Drury's horse is a little, Drury's been going good. And this is a horse that, it's two for two. Yes, he just won 50,000 non-two, but you know, this is a step up. But at least he's a horse that, you know, to some degree is moving in the right direction. If I could afford it, I you know, when it was six horses, there was a path to buying this race with fullness of time back in. So now it's up to seven. So you got a tough, tough call here about. And boy, you know, the way Ed's approaching it, the way he discussed it with Gunnett, that may make the most sense. Now, we'll see. All right, I'll make that decision right after I get off the air. That's the one part of this that I'm really uncertain about what I want to do. And I suppose now going two by two in the early legs will help. And maybe pare back a little bit in that fourth leg and lean a little more heavily on Curate, and maybe go for just maybe call it quits at four there. That might be what we end up doing. It's not a question of handicapping in this sequence. This is all ticket construction and expense and what you can afford and how much you want to put in. And I think the mentality is going to be, I think a lot of people are going to have the mentality that this thing, you know, is going to get squirrely, and that you're going to have prices. So you can't necessarily just, you know, tiptoe through. Anyway, I'll make some final decisions and I'll put it up at the website. Right now, an opportunity that I've been waiting for 2 weeks, and everybody that listened, you know, coming out of the Haskell and then into the Bellezzi Mile and then leading up to Breeders' Cup, Spun to Run looked like a beach ball, and he just took advantage of an opportunity and wires the dirt mile, and it was one of the most joyous scenes for Juan Carlos Guerrero and his people. A delight to get Juan Carlos this morning. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Juan, I was staying at the Constance, and when you and the team came back, one of the afternoons when you first got to town, and you could just tell, you know, you guys all week leading in, you just had so much confidence. And going back to the Haskell, to the press conference, that's when I realized that this was a horse to watch. You tried to make it clear to everybody that this was a specially talented horse.